Besachs Bava Metzia, Perek Hamish Gimel, and full Perek Hamish Vav. The focus of this fifth Perek of Bava Metzia are the laws of taking interest. And the Perek goes through lots of different examples of various loans or sales which are made, and whether they are permitted or whether they are forbidden because they come under the category of interest, either mid-Oraisa or mid-Rabbanon. Mochalos HaSodeh, if somebody, let's say Reuven, sells his field to Shimon, V'nosale Mikzas Domim, and Shimon pays Reuven for part of the field already now. But not all of it, V'omaloi, and Reuven tells Shimon, Eimon Sashatiritza Hobi Mois, when you want to bring money, and once you've paid for the entire thing, V'tol Shaloch, then take that which belongs to you, then take the field. Now the language of what Reuven is telling Shimon, V'tol Shaloch, take that which is yours, implies that we're talking about a situation where the transfer of ownership is supposed to happen now. Reuven just tells Shimon that it will be yours retroactively from now already, as long as you pay me later on. And in such a case, says Mishnah, also this is forbidden. The reason why it's forbidden is because during this time before, until Shimon has paid the money, the rest of the money, Reuven, who is the previous owner of the field, cannot benefit from the produce of the field. Why? Because if Shimon ends up paying for the field, then it would have become his already from now. And it would emerge that why is Reuven eating all of this produce during this period of time? Because Shimon gave the money for the field late. He already becomes the owner now, the sale is taking place now, and the longer we're going to wait for Shimon to pay, the longer Reuven is going to be able to benefit from the produce. And the produce doesn't belong to him, so he's really taking the other person's produce because the other person is delaying the payment. That's considered to be interest. On the other hand, Shimon, the person buying the field, also cannot benefit from the produce now. Because if he ends up not paying for the field, then of course he'll take back the part of the money which he did give. And it would emerge that that money was sort of like a loan to Reuven, the previous owner of the field, and the current owner as well now. So if Shimon would benefit from the produce, he would be gaining because he gave money to the other person. That's why he's getting the produce, and that would be a gain which he's getting from this, so to speak, loan. And therefore, either way, neither of them could benefit from the produce. And so if they did such a deal, then the sale is valid, and they would need to give the produce to a third party for them, for him to look after it, and then, depending on whether Shimon ends up paying or not, the produce would be given to Reuven or Shimon. Now, in a case where he didn't say that the sale should take place now, but he said that when you end up paying for it, then it will become yours, then it would be all okay. Reuven would be able to continue benefiting from the produce until Shimon pays for it, because it's considered to be Reuven's totally. All right, next example which the Mishnah brings, Hilvo al Sodehu. If Reuven lent money to Shimon, and they designated Shimon's field to be a deposit. Meaning, for my lord, Reuven said to Shimon, if you don't return this loan to me within the next 3 years, then harihi shali, that field of yours will become mine already from now, retroactively. Says the Mishnah, harihi shaloi, indeed it would belong to him, retroactively, in a case where Shimon doesn't end up repaying the loan. But again, as we mentioned in the previous part, during these 3 years, neither of them can benefit from the produce, for the same reason as we described. So a third party would have to take all of the produce and all of the benefits from the field, and again, depending on whether Shimon ends up paying or not, the produce would end up being given to either Shimon or Reuven. And indeed, says the Mishnah, V'chachoyo Baises ben Zoinin Oysa Bichachomim. This was the practice of Baises ben Zoinin. That's what he would do with the full permission and authority of the Chachomim, so we see that it is permitted to do this. Now, the Gemara notes that if you read this case simply as it's written down in the Mishnah, Reuven actually would not become the owner of this field, because this is known as asmachta. And asmachta has a number of different usages of the term, but in the vast majority of times where the term asmachta is used, it refers to a transaction, a transfer of ownership, where the person giving over the ownership didn't really have full intention to give over that ownership. For example, gambling is also known as asmachta, because the person who gambles, when he agrees to it, he doesn't actually intend to give up on his money or whatever it is he's giving, because he thinks he's going to win. And so such a sale is actually invalid. If the person gambling knew that he would lose, he would never do this. So in this case as well, the person thinks that he'll be able to repay the loan within the next 3 years. So he doesn't have full intent to give over the ownership of the field to this other person who is lending him money. And therefore, only if he says it in a different language, if the entire loan is made out to be a sale, he says, I'm selling you my field on condition that I don't end up returning this loan. So then the main expression, the main thing which is being stated over here is a sale. It's not a loan, and only in that case would the Mishnah's law apply that Reuven would actually become the owner of the field in a case where Shimon doesn't end up paying the loan within 3 years. It is forbidden to set up a shopkeeper for half of the gain. The Mishnah is referring to somebody who buys some goods and he gives them to a shopkeeper to sell. And the agreement is that any gain or loss, that's very important to add, any gain or loss which they will have, they will split in half. Now, because that is the arrangement, we view half of what is being given to the shopkeeper just as something which the shopkeeper is holding for the owner of the goods, and he's selling it for him, and whatever he gets for it, he's going to give back to the owner of the goods, to the person who bought it. But the other half, which the shopkeeper himself is going to get all the gains and all of the losses for, so when the shopkeeper sells and deals with this half, he's doing it for himself. And so we view him as a borrower of this half. And that's why he would suffer the losses of the item if it goes down in value and he sells it for less. And he would also gain. Now, why is this forbidden? Because we look at it as if the shopkeeper, remember, the first half is not that he's borrowing the first half. The first half fully belongs to the other person, and he's just selling it on his behalf. Now, because he's also considered to be borrowing from the other person, all of the work which he does for the half which he is not borrowing is like he's doing a favor for the lender. This would come under the category of avak ribis, which is sort of secondary interest when somebody does a favor for the person who lended him money. On a similar note, he can't give the shopkeeper money for him to buy produce l'machzis sachar with this arrangement that they will split the profit and the loss. Elon Kane, unless the way he could do this is that noisen l'sacharoi kapoyel. If he pays him a wage like a worker, so then we don't view it as if the person is doing him a favor and selling his half because he borrowed the other half. Because now the half, which is not the loan, the fact that he's working with that is not as a favor, but he's being paid for it. And the Gemara explains that he doesn't have to pay him literally a full wage. He can pay him the amount of money somebody who has a job which requires lots of effort would be willing to take to do a job which requires less effort for a smaller wage on a temporary basis. The point is, it can be a smaller wage than a regular wage. As long as he's giving him something for it, we therefore look at that which he is doing not as a favor for him, but he's being paid for it. Continues the mission with a similar example. In Meshuvin Tani Gedolim Lemechtza, one cannot set up eggs with somebody else's chicken or even his own chicken and tells the other person to look after it and take care of it, so the chicken will make chicks, etc. And again, with this agreement that they will split the gains and the losses. It's forbidden because, again, half of it becomes a loan, half of it is viewed as sort of a favor for the owner, and therefore it comes under the category of avak ribis. One cannot evaluate calves and young donkeys and give them to somebody to look after and raise lemechtza for this arrangement of splitting it into half, splitting the profits and the losses in half. Unless, once again, he pays him a wage for his work, and he pays for the food which he will give the animals, because then we don't view him as doing any favors for the lender. Rather, the lender is hiring him as a worker. Aval, says the Mishnah, one is able to accept the job of raising calves and young donkeys for half of the gain and not half of the loss. If he's only going to take half of the profits, then we don't view it as a loan. If it was a loan, then if it goes up or down, it will be dependent, the loss will be to him. But if we're saying that he's not going to share in the losses, only in the profits, then it's not considered to be a loan. That's just their arrangement between them, and therefore it will be forbidden. And if he accepts such a job to raise these animals, then he needs to raise them until they reach a third of their growth. Others explain it to mean until they reach 3 years old. And if he accepts the job of raising a donkey, then agitator enes, until the donkey reaches a stage where it is able to carry heavy items, because that was the general practice, that if somebody would accept the job of raising animals, they would do it until that stage. So he can't just walk out of the agreement in the middle, and it is expected from him that he does it until that stage. Mishnah Hey, the previous Mishnah talked about young calves or young donkeys, and unless the owner pays a wage to the person who is raising them, it is forbidden to do a deal with them that they'll split the gains and the losses. However, when it comes to a grown cow or donkey, says Mishnah, Shomin Parav Achamar, one can evaluate the value of a cow and a donkey who are already older, and do the deal which we described in the previous Mishnah, where they will split the profits and the losses. And anything which produces and eats, meaning the work that the animal does makes up for the amount that it eats and that it costs to raise the animal. Lemechza for half with this deal, as long as the deal is that that which the animal will produce will belong to the person raising the animal. Because then we view that as the wage which is given to him. And it's also what provides for the food of the animal, and therefore it would no longer come under the category of avak ribis, where the person raising it is doing a favor for the, so to speak, lender. Now, if somebody accepted to raise these animals, to take care of the older animals, if it was a location where the general practice was to split the animals which are born from the older cow or donkey, to split them immediately, then Cholkin, they would split it. If it's a location where the general practice was that the person who had accepted this job upon himself had to continue taking care of the children of the cow and donkey as well, if that was the general understanding and assumption in that area, then he needs to do so. That is what they agreed upon. Right now, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that there is a way to do this whole deal with a younger animal as well, even without paying a wage. And that is, if you accept upon yourself to raise and to take care of the mother animal together with the calf. Shomin Egelim Imoy, they can do an evaluation of a calf together with its mother cow. Siachim Imoy and a young donkey together with the donkey's mother. If he accepts upon himself to take care of both of them, and it's important to add that the owner of the cow is paying a wage for him taking care of the mother cow, or it could be it's an automatic wage, anything which the cow produces or works in the field will belong to this person taking care of the animals, or alternatively he'll actually give them a wage. If he does that, then it's permitted to add the baby cow as well. Why? Because the baby cow would always follow the mother. So to take care of the baby cow in addition to its mother barely requires any extra effort, because it always just follows the mother. So as long as you pay a wage for taking care of the mother, and according to some, you also need to pay for the food which is given to the baby cow, but other than that, you would not need to pay a wage for him taking care of the baby cow, since the extra effort which is required is barely anything. Next law of the Mishnah, one can make an increase on the rent of his field, and this is referring to a case where Reuven, let's say, lends a field to Shimon, and Shimon tells him, lend me some money as well as giving me this field for me to rent. Lend me some money so that I can buy fertilizer and other things to improve the field. And instead of me repaying you the loan, I'll just add it on to the rental price that is permitted. And he does not need to be concerned that this might come under the category of interest, that for the favor of him giving him extra money, for him lending him money, he's increasing the amount that he's paying him for the field. We might look at it as sort of a favor, because it's not, strictly speaking, the return of the loan. He's adding it on to the price of renting. However, it is permitted, because this really is part of the rental, meaning he's now able to rent a better quality field, and therefore it can be added on to the price of renting the field. Mishnah Zolvi, in the covenant of Tzoyin Barzel with Yisrael, it is forbidden to accept an arrangement of Tzoyin Barzel from a Jew. This is pretty much the same as the previous cases which we've been discussing, where the profits and the losses are split between them, just that when it comes to Tzoyin Barzel, all of the losses are taken by the person who is accepting this job. The profits will be split, but all of the losses will be suffered by the person who is accepting this, and the owner won't suffer it at all. So if we saw in the previous Kabbalah Mishnayos that it's forbidden to do an arrangement where they split the loss, certainly it's forbidden to do a deal where the person accepting it will take all of the loss, then certainly we'll view the fact that the profits are split as a favor which the person who is viewed as a borrower is doing for the, so to speak, lender. So this is certainly forbidden. The Mishnah brings this law in order to show the next part, that Avon Makabrin Tzon Bazman Anochrim, it is permitted to do this arrangement of Tzon Barzel from a non-Jew. Because in fact, says the Mishnah, V'loiv Mehen Ravim Hezon B'Ribis. It is permitted to borrow from a non-Jew with interest and to lend a non-Jew with interest. The Torah says explicitly, L'Nochri Sashich, that it is permitted to have arrangements of interest with a non-Jew. It could be that unless it's for the sake of one's parnosa and livelihood, it could be it's forbidden midrabbonon, so that one doesn't get too close to non-Jews. But in terms of the prohibition of interest, it is certainly permitted. V'chem a ger toshav, the same applies to a ger toshav, who is somebody who is not Jewish and lives in Eretz Yisrael, and has accepted the seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, the seven mitzvahs which apply to non-Jews, even though for certain things he might be considered to have the same law as a Jew, with regards to interest, he's considered to be like a regular non-Jew. Alright, second half of the Mishnah. A Jew is allowed to lend the money which belongs to a non-Jew with the non-Jew's consent and knowledge. And according to the conclusion of the Gemara, we're referring to a case where, let's say, Reuven borrowed money from a non-Jew with interest. And let's say the deal was that he'll pay it back after a month. And then after 2 weeks, Reuven is ready to give back the money already to the non-Jew, but Shimon comes to Reuven and he says that I want to use that money for the next 2 weeks, so the amount of interest which you would pay for having the money for the next 2 weeks, I'll pay instead of you. And we're talking about a case where the non-Jew was the one who ended up taking the money from Reuven and giving it to Shimon. However, Reuven gave his consent. Nevertheless, it's still permitted because at the end of the day, the one who did it was the non-Jew. It's not considered to be that Reuven is lending money to Shimon with interest. Avol lo midas Yisrael. We're going to understand this to mean that he's not able to do it with the consent of the Jew only, meaning Reuven can't say to Shimon, yes, fine, I'll give you the money for the next 2 weeks and you'll pay the interest, without going via the non-Jew, because then we do view it as if Reuven is the one lending Shimon with interest, and that's a Jew with another Jew, and therefore it would be forbidden under the prohibition of ribbis, of taking interest, or lending with interest.